Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
Genesis 1:26 reads like this, "And God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness." So what's God? He's speaking. Then God said, let us. Who's us? Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over creation, the things that were created. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. He created them, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. Then he said, be fruitful, multiply. Listen to me. Don't try and be fruitful and don't try to be successful without the blessing of God. It is very hollow. Bring God into everything. And he blessed them. Know the blessing of God. What does it look like? It looks like the favor of God. That as you get into the Word of God and as you fellowship and you just, man, this is, feel a sense of well-being. I feel touch of heaven upon my life. And it said, and God bless him. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over things that are created. Since then, as you know, lots more have been invented, and lots more have been created. And he still says, blessed, fruitful, multiply, subdue, take dominion over the things that have been created. Don't let the things that have been created rule you. Be ruled by the one who created us, God. So we're continuing today on our series, Bless This House, Blessed Homes. And I dare say that each one of us, God, yeah, we accept that. We want your blessing on our home. We want your blessing upon our life. So you've got to position yourself. Not a matter of works, but you've got to position yourself. Someone said you've got to position yourself under the spout where the glory comes out. You've got to position yourself so the blessings become a reality within your life. So as I unpack this subject this morning, God is interested in the guiding values that we choose to live our lives and that we build our families. Sometimes we just march on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. We just march on and let's get on with life without any thought of what track we are doing or going on. We're here and we think it's cool, but you got to project where here is going to lead. Because if you're not quite happy here, as time goes on, there's a big gap that happens between what you thought and what you could have changed and what you did and what you didn't change. So if I was to ask you this morning, are you happy with your life? Are you happy with your family? I would have to say that I'm happy with God, but I'm not always happy with how life is unfolding sometimes. So I've got to look at that. Is this a time issue or is this a value issue? Is this a principle issue or is just it just takes time for us to get it all happening because there's different mindsets, there's different thoughts that are coming into play here. But I've got to keep on thinking, where do I want to go? What do I want my family to look like? What does 10 years ahead in my marriage going to look like? What is 10 years ahead with my children kind of going to look like? And you just say, I don't know. But I know a few things that 30 to say 50 years ago, that you could just about guarantee that the values that were being passed on generationally were all pretty cool, tried and true. But in a world that's changing so much, we've got to stay close to the Word of God to make sure that our values and our principles are lining up with God's Word and God's thoughts for us. The world is changing, not only with technology, but how we define marriage and family. And we just know over the last few weeks, there's been a plebiscite's gone out and people have made choices of how they define family and marriage. And in the future, very close, how we define and identify our sexuality. Interesting world we live in. Change is good, but not all change is good. Values are guiding principles. I don't know if you've ever had the chance to look through a telescope, but there's a cross. And if it's not quite adjusted, the cross is blurry, but as you keep focusing, the two crosses line up and you get a clear perspective of the target that you're shooting at. So values are guiding principles. We've got to get the crosses to line up, our cross and the target cross. I was talking to a pilot a while ago and he flies little planes and he just says, I just fly by what I see. And he says, most of the time it's good, but sometimes I get confused because I'm not too sure what I see. Thank God I'm not in that plane. But experienced pilots and the bigger pilots, they fly by a thing called gauges or instruments. So regardless of what they see, they trust their instruments. They trust their gauges. And they may, where are we going? But they look at their gauge, they keep their crosses lined up, and they may feel we're going sideways, whatever, but they just keep looking at their gauges to keep their plane straight. They trust their instruments. I tell you what, it's time we got back to the Bible and trusted the instrument. Are you hearing me today? What do we trust? Who do we trust? Getting back to the concept of defining marriage. In early 2000, John Howard and the government, they made a statement of what a marriage looks like. And it was something like this. A marriage is between a man and woman committed in a loving relationship under God for life. 17 years later, want to redefine it. But the way that they early defined it was according to the Word of God. Let us make man our image according to his likeness. And God made Adam and Eve. Guiding principles. Values, guiding principles. Values, guiding principles. We need them within our life. Something that will help us maintain the traditional boundaries of what we've known for thousands of years through the Word of God. And Proverbs says, don't remove the ancient boundaries. You know, someone was speaking about a while back about how we define our identity and sexuality, and you know, as time goes on, you can, it'll be kind of fluid. Sexuality is, if you feel like being a male, you can be male. Feel like being a woman, and those kind of things. But I heard a man tell a story once, and I thought it was good. He said, "If you're ever confused about your sexuality, go home by yourself, get in the bathroom, look in the mirror, pull down your pants, and have a look." You might say that's a bit cruel, but I just think don't let us confuse the practicalities of life. Values, guiding principles. Now let's get back to this. Aha. Do you like this? Everyone's going quiet on me. Come on, don't get quiet. Okay, this is life. It's full of things. True? Some of us say, man, I can't do anything else. My life is full. What is it full of? Well, I've got work and work's important. Who believes that work's important? Okay. Also, what is important, man, I've got a car. Actually, I've got two cars. Just takes a bit of time, and they're important in my life. Who believes transport's important? So those things are important to life. Sport. When you're winning, it's very important. Health. Like me time, just having my time out, to spending time with me, it's important as well. Friends are important. Food is important. Yeah. Holidays are important, and come on, Christmas, we need a break, you know. Your house is important. Everyone needs a place of security, a place you can retreat, a place of shelter, and we need those things within our life, and money's important. Who agrees with this? Coffee is important. Kids' sport, important. And we look at our life, maybe that's what's full of. Work, home, money, food, kids, sleep, get up, work, home, sport. And you're just saying, man, my life is pretty solid, very solid. But it's only as solid as the container that it's in. So while everything's good, life's good, but if something cracks, this is all sand. There's no sustainability in that to hold your life together. And some people have had everything, and now they've got nothing because their life was full of sand. It's full. I've got no room for anything else. You just kind of think, man, what about the guiding principles? And I just want to encourage us today to get it settled, the core values and the core convictions within our life. When everything wants to be swept away, David says this, Psalms 119, 112, it says, my heart is fixed on keeping your precepts. My heart is fixed. I know what's important in life. And I just wonder today as we unfold this subject, is what's some of the things that are valuable to you? Oh, you probably said, you know, you don't have to tell me, I'll tell you. Family, work, health, probably all those things I said. But what are they wrapped around? Is it going to be wrapped around a core value? And I kind of look at the first rock that I would put within my jar, and I would say, the big rock I want to put in first. And may God help me, not only to do this in my head, but to do it in reality, that in my heart, God first. What does that mean? It sounds good. And each one of us here today would say, yeah, of course God's first. And then I've got to question myself, can I prove that God's first in my life? How do I prove it to myself? And he says we need to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I can say it, but is it a reality within my life? I'm not trying to bring dispersions upon anyone's faith or convictions. Today is I'm talking to myself, and hope you're listening to me as I talk to myself. So Exodus 20 and verse 3 is where the Ten Commandments were given. Moses goes up into a mountain. God gives him the Ten Commandments. The first one is, you shall have no other gods before me. Fair enough. I don't have any gods on my shelf at home. I don't have anything that I get up and pray to every morning as an idol on my shelf, where he says, you shall not have any other gods before me. But I wonder if my house has become my God. I wonder if polishing my wheels on my car has become a God. What if my kids become a God? I wonder if my health has become my God, my sport. And all those things are not bad, you know that. But it's where they are positioned. If your life is built on them, it creates If something goes wrong, it creates uncertainty and insecurity. But if you have the big rocks in the right place, and he says, you shall have no other gods before me. Okay, help me with that one, God. Then you go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 7. And it's where the Ten Commandments are reviewed and explained. So out of Ten Commandments, they come up with, I think it is, 660 laws to explain the law. That's where the Jews got themselves into trouble. They got all these do's and don'ts. And man, it was simple to start off, Ten Commandments, and now it's turned into 660 to help us understand what was so, I think, simple. Simple to hear, but difficult to do. So they explain it like this. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 6. And it reads like this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. What's he trying to do? He's trying to explain, you shall have no other gods before me. And so we'll listen to it this way. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Not just in the jar. Not just as a plaque on the wall. But right in the core of my heart. To love God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. Then he goes on to say, well, cool. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your strength. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor is other people. And he says, if you do this, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So you can look at the 660, you can look at the 10, which are good to know, and God puts them in our heart. But he says, if you want to do well in life, come on, simple it down. Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do those things, you will find you'll be fulfilling all the commandments. On these two hang all the laws and the prophets. God doesn't come to make things complicated. He comes to make them simple. You need theologians to make things complicated. So how do we put God first? An acronym. How do we do that? First, F-I-R-S-T. Look at this. F, family. I, interest. R, relationships. S, service. T, trouble. Put God first in those areas. Help me to outwork what it means to put God first. And I just want to talk about family for a while. Can I go a little bit deeper? Can I talk to fathers? In Africa, they did an experiment with animals. And particular animals they did the experiment with was elephants. And they just wanted to check behaviors in the elephant family, I suppose. So what they did, they had this herd of elephants, and what they decided to do, it was well-behaved, and it seemed like it was well-balanced. And what they did, they took away the bulls from the herd and put them at a distance from the rest of the herd. After a while, the young male calves were causing trouble. They were getting out, going into towns, pulling out plants, wrecking people's gardens, fighting with each other. And that happened for about 6 months, and I just said, man, all we've done is taken the male bulls out of the herd. So what they thought they'd do would put the male bulls back into the herd again. And within a few weeks, all was back in order. So maybe there's something important about males and females. A man has his position, his authority. Woman has her position, her authority. And it's a perfect balance that God creates within our world. Fathers are needed. Authority figures are needed. Father figures are needed. And you might say you don't have a father. I just like to think that in Inspire Church, we have father figures for those who don't have fathers. That we have husband figures for those who don't have husbands. The world wants to mess all of this up and just say it's all the same. I don't understand that. I've got grandchildren. And we don't teach them what to play with. But as soon as I've got 5 boys and 3 girls, grandchildren. The boys, they're just attracted to cars. Vroom, vroom, vroom. They make the noises, you know, and you're just going to think, you know. And even if they pick up a doll, they go, vroom, vroom, vroom. The girls will be different. By and large. So there's a difference. And what I want to say today is this, that our dad experiences mold our behaviors. And I'm not here today to rub it into anyone that's had a bad father experience. I just want to preach a philosophy, I want to preach a theology, and just let it pan out within our lives of what you feel God's saying to you. So each one of us, our experiences mold our dad behaviors. Sorry, our dad experiences mold our behaviors. So here's one. I'll just write out of it. My dad was loving and kind. See, we all have my dad was. Are you talking to me? My dad was. You put in what it is. My dad was loving and kind. Or it could be my dad was abusive. Or my dad was absent. Or my dad was, he was weak. Or my dad did not protect me. Or I never met my dad. Or my dad was controlling. Or my dad was warm. Or my dad was a drunk. My dad was a workaholic. Or my dad was always there for me. My dad is my hero. He's my example. We all have what my dad was. I wonder what you could put in there. My dad was. I put in mine. My dad was always there. He was there. He was there when I didn't want him to be there. He was there. And my mother was twice as bad. She used to know about things that I thought I kept secret, but she knew about them. The all-seeing eyes of mother. So you might say, what's the big deal about dads? Now, here it is. We relate to our Heavenly Father, or how we relate to our Heavenly Father, or let me say this, the way we relate to our Heavenly Father affects the way we relate and I've said it all wrong, let me say it again. And it's by purpose that I messed it up so you could really listen to it. We relate to our earthly father. The way that we relate to our earthly father affects the way we relate to our heavenly father.
Thank you for listening to part one of this message.